Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. That got a little ugly in the first segment, arguing about the Cowboys. Should we be alarmed? Should we be happy for Jerry? You can weigh in, 855-212-4227. But Maggie, this is really exciting. This is fun, you have to admit.
Yeah, absolutely love. Then we can talk to somebody who's made history in their lives. And that's Kevin Butler, who is a college football Hall of Famer, not only a legend at Georgia, but also with the 85 Bears in Chicago as a Super Bowl champion. He is the honorary captain for the kickoff game, the Aflac kickoff game, I should say, in Atlanta. You had one of your greatest moments, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining us. Of your illustrious kicking career, one of your greatest moments actually came against Clemson. You nailed a 60-yarder against them. It's known as the kick. So what kind of memories does it bring up to watch Georgia and Clemson play this weekend?
Well, it's really exciting. I appreciate being with you guys, too, this morning. And, yeah, college football's here. And not a bigger start for the University of Georgia than when we opened with Clemson. You know, when back in the 80s when I played, it was a rivalry that, you know, pitted up the national champions of 80 and national champions of 81. We opened on Memorial night in 82 under the lights at Georgia. So it was a big game all the time. Recruiting was very tight. The schools are very close, and the competition back then was at the highest level in college football. So it ended up my senior year. We had gone back and forth. We lost my freshman year to them. They won the national championship. We beat them my sophomore year. We lost the national championship to Penn State that year. And we tied my junior year with each of us trying a 67-yard field goal and then a 66-yard field goal for each team. Both to no avail, and we walked away 16-all tie. And then my senior year, it came back. Clemson was ranked number 2 in the nation. It was our a big game for us early in the season. They beat us up in the first half. I think they were winning 20-6 at halftime, and we got back out there, got a couple of turnovers, scored some points, tied the game up, and we went down to the last few seconds, and we were out there for a 60-yarder, and Coach Dooley just put me out there, and I think he had all the confidence in the world I could kick it that far. We just didn't get many chances to do that, and luckily it wasn't a matter of distance. It was just a matter of making sure it went through the uprights, and it did, and that turned into a long Saturday night, and that turned into a long week, so it was a lot of fun.
Kevin, when you look at college football today, how different is it from the early 80s? I know it might look the same on TV, but behind the scenes, it feels like a different sport, almost more of a professional sport than it was 40 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good observation, and I agree with you. It really is. I've been doing radio for Georgia for the last 17 years, so the one thing I like to do at each game is I walk around that field and size up the other team, and then walk over there and size up Georgia. And, you know, I recall back in 2015, Alabama came into Georgia, and I walked around the field, and I walked over to our assistant who does all the headphones, and I walked over to him. I said, "We're about to get rolled." He's like, "I love our guys." I go, "I love our guys too, but that's the biggest damn team I've ever seen in my life." And that's exactly what happened. The depth of that team Alabama had that year had no drop-off. And I think that's where Georgia finds themselves now. Their depth resembles a professional team. You're going to play 17 games if you're going to win a championship now. That's an NFL season. The guys on a whole are bigger across the board than the NFL team. Does that make them better than an NFL team? No, but size-wise, they are bigger than an NFL team across the board. So that gives them a little bit of an advantage against teams that don't have that depth. And I think that's really what's going to play the biggest factor this year in the new playoff system, is those teams that can have some injuries and put that second and third team player in there and still not have a drop off of the performance.
Kevin Butler is joining us. He's going to be the honorary captain for the Aflac kickoff game in Atlanta, Georgia, and Clemson. Of course, a legend at Georgia as a kicker, a college football Hall of Famer, then went on to the Chicago Bears, won a Super Bowl with the Bears, played 11 seasons with the Chicago Bears. And I guess, you know, the fact that you're so honest about the team, Kevin, is great. If you can self-scout just for a moment with Georgia, you mentioned the depth and how big the team is and how fierce they look. If there's anything that's going to be standing in the way between Georgia and another national championship, what is it?
Well, I think it's replacing the players that made the team move. You know, first of all, receiver. You know, we lost Ladd McConkey. We lost Brock Bowers. Those two guys accounted for probably 55 to 60% of our downfield plays. Our plays came on third down. They were kind of unstoppable, and it's hard to replace that. So we've got to get some young kids and some transfers in that can create some separation on that that receiver position. And it's got to be complemented by probably our biggest question mark, and that's running back. You know, we've had some Etienne is in here from Florida, but we're not sure if he's going to make it to the game this weekend with some off-field issues that he has to be responsible for. And, you know, we've got some great young players that we're going to see this weekend. But I think those are really the two positions that if you have concern at the University of Georgia, you need to see those guys step out. You need to see them create a little persona of who they're going to be. Are they going to be that go-to receiver? Are they going to be the tight end that kind of fills in for Brock? We're going to need at least two players to make that gap for Brock. He was such an unbelievable player. When you don't have somebody like that, you know, how is it going to affect the team mentally? Who is going to be that go-to guy in crunch time? And we're going to see some crunch times against a Clemson team that is very talented. They know how to prepare. And anytime you have 4 to 5 months to prepare for an opening game, every opponent's going to be formidable.
Kevin, who do you think the biggest threat to Georgia in the SEC is?
Well, you know, with the new schedule and having to go into Texas, I think that's a threat. I think going down to Ole Miss this year, Lane has done a great job of not only developing that program, but they went out and they played the free agent market, and they've made themselves stronger on that defensive line, the defensive front. I think that's kind of what they were lacking last year. So those are the two games that really stick their head up to me off the bat, going down to Texas, just a new area, a new atmosphere. It's going to be crazy. Hopefully a F1 car doesn't come through the middle of the stadium. they got everything happening that weekend in Austin, so it'll be electric. But I think Georgia understands how to play on the road. I think that Kirby has done a great job with, you know, kind of getting them in that business type trip mode. And when you have a college team that you're not quite sure how they're going to perform in a new environment, the more that you can keep them steady to a program, not let them deter one way or the other, that's one thing Kirby does a wonderful job with.
Kevin Butler is the College Football Hall of Famer. He's also the honorary captain for the Aflac kickoff game in Atlanta, Georgia, Clemson, legend at Georgia, and we mentioned also a Super Bowl champion with the Chicago Bears 85. Now, we talk a lot about old school coaches versus new school coaches on this show, Kevin, and there's no one more old school than Mike Ditka. So I'd love to know, can you walk up to a coach like Mike Ditka as a young kicker and say, "Coach, I got this from 60 yards. I've got this from 61. Can you lobby him to try to get in the game at that point?
Well, you got to be careful going up to Mike Ditka about anything. That's the first thing I learned. when I was drafted by the Bears, you know, obviously the Clemson kick was something that was mentioned. I kicked a lot of long field goals, so I went in there, you know, with people in Chicago and the coaches feeling like, well, you know, he's always going to want to kick these long kicks. And first game against Tampa Bay, I had made the team. It came down to right before halftime, and all of a sudden they're calling my name, and I run up there, and he goes, "Try the field goal." And I was like, "Try the field goal? Where are we?" And it was a 64-yard field goal. And I got out there, it was right before halftime, and Steve Fuller was my Clemson quarterback, one of the retired numbers. He was my holder, and he's like, "There." He goes, "You got this?" And I'm like, "Yeah." My heart was beating. I remember kicking that 64-yarder. It made it through the end zone, but I think it just barely got over Keith Van Horn's head, our tackle. And as I turned around, Dicka was already walking to me, and he just looked at me. He goes, "Don't ask me to kick a long field goal again." And I was like, I didn't even ask you for this one. What are you talking about? So he kind of nipped it in the butt right there. So I didn't ever go up to him and ask him for those type of field goals. You know, Chicago was so much different to me getting out there, working with the winds, kicking off of turf. You know, it was just things I'd never done at Georgia. You know, I always grew up playing on grass. We may had one game a year that was on AstroTurf. So it was an adjustment, but I think I had the right attitude that meshed with Coach Ditka. Coach Dooley gave me that opportunity, very disciplined coach. So I worked very hard, and that's really what got me accepted, not only by my teammates in Chicago, but by the fans. I used to be the leading scorer, as we were talking about. Bobby Gould beat me there. Several people beat me at Georgia. The only thing I got left at Chicago was I never had a kickoff run back. I can honestly say I probably had more tackles than any kicker in the NFL in modern history. I've tackled Deion Sanders, Barry Sanders, Herschel Walker, Mel Gray. Every time I tackled them, I would get hurt. So I'm not acting like I'm a football player, but that was just one thing that kind of endeared me to the fans of Chicago.
Kevin, we don't have a lot of time left. I have 1,085 Bears questions. I'm of that generation. I'll just ask one. Why do you think the Bears didn't win another Super Bowl? Why did Ditka and your group not get another ring?
Well, we got beat. I mean, we got beat in the playoffs by Washington. That was really the one. Darryl Green ran a punt back late in the game. We had home field advantage. We didn't play sharp that day. We played good enough to win, but we didn't. And at that point, as you were talking about, y'all were talking about y'all being able to meet Jim McMahon. He came out with a book called McMahon. I remember getting on a bus and him going, "Hey, read chapter 6. And it's a real quick read. And I read it and I shut the book. I looked at him. I go, "Man, it was good playing with you." He's like, "What do you mean?" I go, "Man, you called our owner a few pretty bad names in this chapter." And it was probably about 3 weeks later, they traded him, if I recall correctly, in our preseason game. They came up to Jim, who was my locker mate, and said, "You can take yourself over to San Diego's locker. We have traded you to them." Traded him the day of the game and sent him home after the game to San Diego, and that was the end of it. And it kind of fell apart. We got into free agency at that point. Wilbur Marshall left. He was the first guy that really hit free agency, and things started changing. I think the McCaskies found out that they weren't running their program, and Jerry Vannesi and Mike Ditka were, and that just didn't hold a lot of weight.
You got to be really excited about what Chicago has now. The Caleb Williams, just the preseason, Kevin, is enough to get everyone really hyped that this could be the greatest quarterback in Bears history. Maybe not to put too much pressure on the young guy.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of pressure on him. You know, Chicago put as much pressure on you as they can, but they sure look good in preseason. But as I always said, I don't think we won a game in our preseason the year we won the Super Bowl. So he's going to see a lot more than he's seen in preseason that first game. The defense coordinator is going to open up their book. So it's still going to be a learning process for him, but he's got a lot of great talent around him. I really like their defense. I think their defense is loaded, and their defense is going to be able to keep them in games. And if he can get a little bit comfortable back there, he's got a lot of talent around him. So, you know, everybody in Chicago is thinking Super Bowl right now. So that's the way we do it in Chicago.
Man, well, maybe we'll get you as an honorary captain for one of those Bears games. For now, though, you get this distinction to be at the Aflac kickoff game. You're the honorary captain, Clemson, Georgia. Great memories of the kick and your illustrious college football career and pro career. Kevin, thank you so much and enjoy the game.
My pleasure. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Wow. What a football life, Maggie. That is so cool.
I know. We didn't have enough time. I want to ask, like, who's the toughest person he ever played with? Think about those guys. College, pro. That's like how many tough guys?
Well, I mean, the Chicago Bears, that was nothing but tough guys. I mean, your quarterback was the toughest guy. Your coach was insanely tough. And then you had Wilbur Marshall and Mike Singletary and Dave Duerson and a bunch of crazy guys on defense. So I think that would have been an impossible question. Yeah, I feel like something was missing in that segment there, Maggie. Our middle segment, in the middle of the hour, there's usually, what is that we usually do? I can't remember. Oh, this guy, Andrew Bogus, is sitting here. Say, the whole time, Maggie, you're at the home studio today.
Yeah.
He's sort of quietly staring at me.
And stewing.
Yeah,
here's
and
the
stewing.
Thing. Good morning, folks. Can we just move the update and can we just do it in the next segment? Because we've got headlines. We've got big news from yesterday.
Maggie,
whatever you want.
We have to call his agent. We're in negotiations. We have Jerry Jones
He's
on
holding
the phone.
In.
We have Jerry. Yeah, Andrew Bogus
I am
is
actually.
Holding in. He's holding in. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, here, right. But not working.
You figured it out.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up next, Andrew Bogus better deliver. Maggie and Perloff Show.